Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the NFL draft. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Oh, just digesting the weekend.
Absolutely. Digesting the weekend. An eventful weekend it was around here, both in the NFL draft and in the Nashville Predators as well. We'll get to the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. Corey, I guess we'll start with Caleb Farley being selected in the first round, number 22 for the Titans overall. What did you think of that pick, getting Caleb Farley at number 22 overall?
Well, first off, I get it. You're getting top 10 talent at the back end of the first round. So I totally understand, just like with Jeffrey Simmons, you don't get that opportunity very often to get a player of that caliber in that position. We just thought going into the draft, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, that after Isaiah Wilson, that their risk factor had to be really, really low in round one. And, you know, apparently they feel like the risk factor with him is very low because, you know, I like to say NFL teams generally don't just roll the dice on a guy and go, well, we hope he's going to be okay. You know, they have to believe 100% that he's fine. I mean, because, look, the athletic ability, the tape, everything's there. You know, the only two questions are, can he stay healthy, number one, and is he the same guy post-second back surgery that he was before it? I thought Teron brought up a really good point about, is the twitch still there? Because, you know, the difference between a 100% guy and a 97 or a 95% guy is a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, it feels like there's a good chance, you know, he's going to be okay, but then does it become this constant thing that comes back, and does it end up limiting him, you know, long term? Of course, you know, with the Titans, they have not gotten to second deals with many guys anyway, Corey. Yep. And got the news this morning from Adam Schefter about Rashawn Evans, which was interesting. I don't know if you saw, but Drew Rosenhaus basically saying the Titans want to sign him to a long-term deal. You know, the cap thing doesn't work out. To me, it's like, okay, well, if you really like him that much, you just pick up his option. But what do you think about that situation, and how do you think the Monty Rice pick relates to that?
Well, I don't agree with you in the fact that if you don't want to sign, if you want to sign him, you need to pick up the option. He doesn't play to a $10 million level, so I'm not picking up that option. And I agree with the strategy of walking in and telling him, hey, we're not picking you up, but we want to keep you. I thought when this happened with Corey Davis, they should have walked in and said, hey, we can't pick up that option number, but we want to sign you. Here's 4 years, $40 million. And would that have worked for Corey Davis? I don't know. But, you know, when you see what he got now and where the team is now, they'd be in a pretty good spot with that deal and being aggressive in signing these guys. I mean, the fact is, until this weekend, John Robinson had made 6 first-round picks, and there are only 2 left on the roster in 5 years. That's not great. That's not great. Look, he has unquestionably made this team better. I'm not arguing that. But we can all look at first-round picks who are supposed to be pillars of your team, and they haven't been. I mean, we all like Rashawn. We all think Rashawn makes good plays. But has he lived up to a first-round pick? No, probably not. Probably played like a third-round pick. And, you know, that's just the facts. And so can he be a part of this team in the future? Yes, but it's going to have to be at the Titans' price. I thought drafting a linebacker was kind of in the cards for this team because it's not just Rashawn, but also you've got Jayon Brown also in the last year of his deal. So now instead of replacing, you know, two in next year's draft, you're potentially just replacing one. See what kind of player Monty Rice is, you know, if he's more Evans than he is Brown. But, you know, that appeared to be in the cards because they know, look, they certainly, if they re-sign one of them, we'll see, but they're certainly not going to re-sign both of them. They can't afford it.
Well, okay, well, let me come back on the, okay, I hear you on $10 million, but, I mean, Avery Williamson left for $8 million a year 3 years ago. You know, what is the long? What's the long term number if they figure something out? I mean, I would assume that he would be able to find something, you know, in that range, wouldn't he?
Do you think somebody's going to give him $10 million a year?
Well, I don't know about 10 a year, but not too far from it.
Okay. Well, you know what? If somebody wants to give him $10 million a year, then give him $10 million a year. I'm going to draft a guy in the second, third, or fourth round. I'm going to plug him in and play him for about one-fifth of that price.
Right. Okay? Well, that's the thing. I don't buy that they're planning to have him here.
Oh, well, you know, they may be planning to have him, but they might be planning to have him at $5 million a year. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, how close is their price? Is it anywhere close? I mean, Jayon Brown, and I loved Avery Williamson, so don't get me wrong, who's out on the market, and I wouldn't mind seeing him coming back to town. But we know Avery struggled in pass coverage. Jayon Brown is fantastic in pass coverage. He's all around the football. The $10 million, people said Jayon Brown was going to get Matt Milano money. Okay, did he get Matt Milano money?
He did not.
No, he got like $5 million, right? Okay, so to me, Jayon Brown's been a more productive player for the Titans than Rashawn Evans, and the money wasn't out there for him. You know, if you're going to play that position and get paid, you have to be an elite player. Leighton Vander Esch is not getting his fifth-year option picked up. He's going to be looking for a job next year. I mean, the Cowboys just drafted his replacement, like 12th overall. I mean, at that position, because you don't rush the quarterback, because you don't pile up sacks, it can be hard to pile up those eye-popping statistics. But, you know, the great ones stand out. They really, I mean, Ray Lewis stood out. Mike Singletary stood out. And I'm not saying you've got to be those guys to get $10 million a year, but to get paid $10 million over a year over drafting another guy or getting $5 million a year, that's a big difference. By the way, $5 million a year is a lot of money in my book. It's not $10 million, though. And I know everybody thinks that they're the guy or their guy's the guy or their team just misused them, you know, miscast them, didn't take advantage of their traits. You know, Rashawn has ability, and he has made some plays in the backfield for this football team on run defense. But we all know he didn't have a great year last year. He should be motivated to have a great year this year. Hopefully he can draw half as many flags as he did last year. I hope he has a great year, and I hope he gets $10 million. But right now, I would definitely, if we were at the blackjack table, be pushing my chips on the table that he's not getting over $9 million a year next year.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, how surprised were you that they did not draft a tight end in this draft, and what do you think that means moving forward? Are they just that confident in Anthony Firkser? Could there be a trade coming of some kind? What did you make of that and how that went down this weekend?
I agree with whether it be free agency or the trade. Going into this draft, I thought there was going to be a third wave of free agency because there are a ton of veterans on the market who haven't wanted to sign for the peanuts that are out there because of the salary cap situation. And teams have kind of, I think, tiptoed the minefield here and wanted to see what they got in the draft, and then they go back out shop again and see what they can get on the discount dial. And so I think that's what the Titans are doing at tight end. I think you know, look, I loved Tommy Tremble and wanted to see them draft Tommy Tremble. I think he's a devastating blocker and a very athletic guy, and I think he's going to be a great player for the Carolina Panthers. But they've got to have an idea of who's either A, available, or B, going to be available. You know, Tyler Eifert is available, and you wouldn't have to pay very much to bring him in here and get a guy who can give you some quality snaps. Or is O.J. Howard going to be available in Tampa? We know Zach Ertz is going to be available in Philadelphia, but he's done. You know, they may not think he's done. Everything we saw last year said he's done. But there are going to be guys available, and I have a hard time believing that they're not going to bring in a veteran of some kind. And also Michael Pruitt's out there, and he could be back as well.
Who's kicking for this team, Corey?
You know what? It's amazing to me because, guys, we've watched this game for a long time, right? And we have seen when you don't take this kicking game seriously, it loses you games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it does. You know, when you need those guys to make those kicks. I didn't dislike Tucker McCann and what I saw from him last year in camp. So maybe with the year of development, he can be the guy. And maybe this kid from Ohio State is the real deal. But there's no veteran in camp, and they didn't spend a draft pick on a guy, so they didn't like him that much. And it's scary. It's scary. You know, my hunch is this. They bring those two guys in. They see what they've got through mini camps, and when they get to training camp, and if they're a week into training camp and they're like, oh my God, we're going to lose games, they're going to call up Steven and have him come back. That's my gut.
Corey, last thing for you here. The Predators, a massive win on Saturday against Dallas. What did you think of that game and how it played out, and do you think the Predators essentially locked down their playoff spot with a game with that win on Saturday night against Dallas?
No, I don't think they locked it down. I think it was a huge win, without question. I think a 2-point or 4-point win would have locked it down. The 1-point win, you know, certainly put them in the catbird seat. They've got two huge ones coming up in Columbus, and I know some people think they got to come out with 4 points. I think they got to come out with at least 3 points. You know, you've got to come away with at least 3 points there. I loved that game because we hyped it up to be the game of the century, and it was. It was a playoff game. Those two teams played their hearts out in that game.
Yeah.
And the moment wasn't too big for either of them. And I think that was what I took away from it the most, is the enormity of the game was there, and both teams handled it and played really, really well and produced a great hockey game and showed that whichever one makes it to the postseason is going to earn it. Okay, so, you know, one of them's not going to make it, all right, and they'll be disappointed. I don't think that makes either one of them a failure, because the three teams at the top of the division are outstanding, and you've got two teams who struggled out of the gate and are fighting to the finish here, and you know, you could say the playoffs have been underway for these two teams for 2 weeks, and we were in this situation with Barry Trotz for 5 straight years, where
yeah.
The playoffs started in January or February. Just to get in, and that's where this team is at now, and it's fun to watch, and it's fun to see this team find its hunger again, you know, to look like a hungry hockey team, a team that wants it, you know, because that, you know, I'll get hokey 80s on us here. That eye of the tiger was gone. It was gone, and it's back, and that's fun to see.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday here at 8 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, exciting weekend and a big week ahead. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis every week here at 8 o'clock on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there and also get into the tight end position for the Titans as well. Nobody drafted at tight end. What in the world are the Titans going to do at that position moving forward? We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. We'll have Preds Pick the Click
brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, coming up at 8:45 later this hour. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Thanks to Corey Curtis for News 2 for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, an interesting kind of point brought up by Corey Curtis here. When we start looking at the draft for the Titans and the holes that are still there with this group, no tight end selected by the Titans in the 2021 NFL draft. We know that Anthony Firkser will be back. We know that Jeff Swaim is back as well. Mykole Pruitt still out there and still available, but no tight end drafted. What did you think of that? How surprised were you that the Titans did not draft a tight end at all in the 2021 draft?
Okay, first of all, I got to get my last word in on Corey. Now he can't respond back to me. On the Rashawn Evans point, here's the point. I agree that Rashawn Evans is not going to get a deal like that. He's going to move on and get a smaller deal. But the point is, if you're the Titans and you actually want a long-term deal with him, I think you pick up it's $10 million, you pick up the option. That's not the Corey Davis $18 million that it's like. Corey Davis could be like, okay, man, we're not picking up $18 million. You get that, right? Of course I do. And I think he did. So you have a chance. If Rashawn Evans has the kind of season everybody hopes he does next year, he's still going to move on. You're not going to get him. So to me, like, it's disingenuous, this, oh, we want to sign you to a long-term deal. I mean, the end of the sentence is, if you play way better. And again, then they're not going to keep him because someone else will give him that money. He's going to move on. I mean, Rashawn Evans is probably going to play one more year with the Titans, and he's probably not going to get anything near what he wants, but they're not going to sign him to that long-term deal.
Well, I think the draft pick tells you exactly how they're feeling right now. I mean, I think just reading the tea leaves, they're not really expecting Rashawn Evans to be there after this year.
Right. And if you had Evans and Rice, like
somebody's got to cover somebody.
Right. To Corey's point, like you got to have coverage. Like I said, I would rather have two Jayons if you could find another Jayon. You're not going with two Rashawns or two Monty Rices. I mean, you just are not going to do that. But as for tight end, I also would like to go to the text line. Do we have a name on? We don't have a name. But we were going back and forth on the Hayden Hurst, O.J. Howard. I didn't realize Howard's cap hit is $6 million. I didn't realize this was his option year. I swear he was just drafted like 3 years ago. Wasn't he 2 years ago? O.J. Howard was a 17 pick. So this is his option year with the Bucks, making $6 million. And Hayden Hurst's cap hit is, according to the texture here, 1.9. So I apologize for that one. I did not realize that. And that makes me a little bit shakier on the whole O.J. Howard thing. I don't think you're trading for him for that. Well, based on what he has demonstrated.
And this coming out from Jeremy Fowler about 15 minutes ago, the Atlanta Falcons are not exercising the fifth-year option on Hayden Hurst, tight end. Per source, he'll be a free agent in 2022. So maybe Hayden Hurst, now that Atlanta has drafted Kyle Pitts, maybe that could be a trade target for the Titans as they move forward here. Like, it's just fascinating to me that they didn't take anybody. There's no tight end selected in this draft. Now, maybe it is as simple, and we've had people on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, mention this. Maybe they do just like Anthony Firkser that much, and they've got faith that he can come in and be an inline tight end, and he can be an every-down tight end for this team. I mean, I still, even if that's the case, would imagine you'd want to bring somebody in via the draft and add some depth to the tight end room at some point and not just have it be you and Jeff Swaim as the only two proven guys at the NFL level with Firkser. But, I mean, I was kind of blown away that they didn't draft anybody in the 2021 draft at tight end.
Well, Corey brought up Tremble. I think that's who they were taking. I think that's who they were taking at 85. So he went, what, 83 or 82?
I can't remember exactly, but it was one of the two, yeah.
So then they bail out of there. I mean, I think that's exactly the guy, and I think he would have fit as a, again, not 83.
Yep.
Not a highly productive guy, but Notre Dame just didn't use him in that way. But a bruising blocker, a guy you put in this offense, and it's like, okay, now you develop him as a pass catcher, and I think it would have totally made sense. So they obviously didn't think much of Brevin Jordan. That was one guy that we talked about a lot going in the draft. That's, I guess, the one Texans pick that I kind of like, Brevin Jordan. You know, weren't interested there, and they get through the whole thing and don't take anyone. I was very surprised. I thought at least take a flyer on somebody with one of those last two picks. Again, Briley Moore is a pretty good undrafted free agent pickup. They also got the Alabama guy who I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he played at Alabama, so he was the only, like, they, you know, 19 guys get drafted from Alabama. He's the one who doesn't. I think it actually was 10. But, yeah, it was surprising. And there's another move to come there. There's got to be.
This is an easy second-guess comment, but if they like Tommy Tremble that much and he was one of the only tight ends that they wanted to draft, why weren't they as aggressive to trade up to get him as they were to trade up to get Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. You know, you don't know. You try to get intel on people, on what's going to happen. I'd love to know what they would have done if Ojulari would have come to them.
Yeah.
You know?
But like at 53. You mean?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because he goes just a couple picks before that. Yeah, I mean, the move to get Fitzpatrick was aggressive, you know. That's coming quite a ways up to grab him, and who knows if they needed to. I mean, I don't know. That's where I always get very interested in the – we always talk about misinformation and everything and putting stuff out there. And, I mean, like the 49ers, that was brilliant. You know, the 49ers, you know, keep people guessing the whole time. And apparently, like, yeah, you guys talk about Mac Jones for a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
But how effective are teams at finding out what other teams really think? You know, to have, because you, there's a lot of work put into it, but clearly that's imperfect too.
John Robinson was asked about not drafting a tight end after the draft took place over the weekend. Here's what Titans GM John Robinson had to say.
On the tight end position, not drafting a tight end, how close were you there at various points? Is it disappointing not to get one? And how would you assess where you are at that position right now?
Yeah, Joe, we were close a couple times. You know, we had some discussions yesterday, some today. And we like the group that we've got, and, you know, we'll continue to evaluate, you know, players that, you know, available here after the draft, you know, as we start that process. You know, and I've gotten several calls from, you know, general managers on other teams that have players on their roster. So, you know, the roster building process is never over. But, you know, we're excited with the group that we got back, you know, with Ferk and with Swaim and Hudson and Adden Pinkney, who was, you know, a good player coming out of Vanderbilt, and Parker Hesse. We'll see how those guys come in and compete and continue to evaluate the players that are available as we continue to move through the offseason here.
So I hear that from John Robinson, Joe, and it makes me think when you factor in that they didn't draft one in this draft and those comments there, like, I would have to think they're either going and getting a free agent at tight end or they're making a trade at tight end. Like, it's difficult for me to imagine them heading into training camp and not having anybody else that's been added to that group. That's just the way I read those comments.
Yeah, I would think so too. Love to know who. In the meantime, if they re-sign Pruitt, if Briley Moore turns out good, if they like Pinkney, is that enough with Swaim and Ferkser?
That'd be a tough sell.
Yeah, I feel like you've got to have someone a little bit more proven, or it's just an important position. I mean, I expect them to play two tight end a lot. They have in the past. And Ferkser, I think, still has limitations. And it's not like John Robinson really threw cold water on that idea either going into this process. So who could they trade for and who can they afford?
Yeah, those are important questions as we move forward here. It's just I look at this position right now. Unless you've got a ton of faith in Anthony Ferkser, and maybe they do. Maybe they do. I would imagine that gets addressed at some point down the line here for the remainder of this offseason. When we come back, we'll get back into the Nashville Predators. A huge win for the Predators over the weekend against the Dallas Stars. What do we need to see out of the Predators in this final full week in the regular season? What do they need to do to get into the playoffs? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ekholm down the left wing. Ekholm goes behind the net, taking a wraparound, and it's tipped in the net. Erik Haula is there, and the Predators win it overtime.
Well, what a game. I think, you know, both teams were going to come in and play as hard as they could. I thought, it was a hard fought battle by both teams. Wasn't a lot of room on the ice, lots of physicality. I thought both goaltenders played really well. Playoff style game, playoff style atmosphere. Our fans were fantastic. And, you know, just like the fact that we were able to find a way to win and stay with it against a really good team. And it was a good night for us.
A big win for the Nashville Predators on Saturday night. They get it done 1-0 in overtime against the Dallas Stars. And as John Hines, Predators head coach, pointed out there, a playoff-style game for the Predators, and they find a way to get it done. Now 3 points up on the Dallas Stars. Stars with one game in hand as we kind of head down the final full week of the regular season here in the NHL. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And speaking of the Predators, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. Text the word GAME to 615-737-1025. That's GAME to 615-737-1025. Now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. So I was really impressed with the Predators on Saturday night and just the game from both teams. I mean, Dallas played well. I thought it was a good back-and-forth hockey game, a playoff-styled hockey game, and two really good defensive teams that played that way for the most part on Saturday night. The Predators find a way to get it done in overtime. Mattias Ekholm on a good wraparound attempt after it was kind of funny. They caught Dallas on a line change, and Duchesne made a pretty good pass up the ice, a stretch pass to Halla, and it took a hop like right over his stick at that last part of it. And I thought, man, that was a heck of an opportunity they just missed. And then they find a way to get the puck back, Ekholm, with a wraparound attempt, and then Halla finishes it off. I thought an incredibly entertaining game from start to finish. When you hear the final score is 1-0, maybe you don't feel that way, but I thought it was playoff hockey to a T on Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena.
Great game, great atmosphere. I mean, it sounded like way more than 5,700 people in there, I thought. They even had one of the timeouts. It's funny because Hall, after the game, mentioned, he's like, there was that one timeout, and it was like, oh, man, you just have no idea, yeah. Hall. But that was really good. It was for a 0-0 game through 60 minutes. I was entertained all 60 minutes. Heck of a win. I'm reading something right now, Robbie, from our friend Adam Vingan about Soros, by the way. Did you see the Lazarus tweet, Mark Lazarus tweet about the heart?
I did.
That's an interesting I never would have thought of that, honestly. And we know McDavid's winning it. I mean, McDavid is...
If he doesn't get 100% of the vote, whoever doesn't vote for him should have their vote taken away.
Yeah. But the idea that Soros could get some heart votes...
I could buy that.
You know, the MVP thing in any sport, it's always... And I go back and forth sometimes because value to team versus best player on best team. Usually best player on best team or greatest player on among the group of really good teams.
Yeah.
That's usually the winner, right? Unless sometimes it's just a dominant player. Just dominant individually, even if the team isn't very good. But value to team? I mean, this stat from Vingan here, okay. Soros has saved an extra 12.1 goals since mid-March. Okay?
Yeah.
That's almost double the amount of the next closest guy. And in his first 13 games, he allowed an extra 2.9. I mean, it's one thing how dramatic from the beginning, you know, just for him to now, but also how much beyond the rest of the league, GSAE, Merzlikins is 6.7. Vasilevsky, 6.4. Soros, 12.1.
Yeah.
Hellebuck, 6.2. That's compelling.
I mean, look, I will say this. I've kind of just been operating under the assumption that Andrei Vasilevsky is going to win the Vezina Trophy, and he probably still is. Each game that goes by, I'm thinking, man, Soros has a good case. He's got a really good case to win the Vezina. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. You got to remember the Vezina is voted on by general managers, so it's not a hockey writer vote. It's general managers around the league.
Does that hurt him or help him?
I don't know.
I mean, people who hate media might say it helps Soros.
I would say that helps, honestly.
They may be right. You may be right because, you know, won't they sit back, take it all in, and say, okay, yeah, we've all been talking about Vasilevsky. It was a done deal. But after all the information's in, if Saros is great in these last four they get in, I think he's got a shot.
Marc-Andre Fleury is also in that conversation.
He's in there. I mean, look, Saros has got a .945 save percentage since March 15th. .945. I mean, he's been unbelievable. Connor McDavid's going to win the Hart Trophy, and it really shouldn't be all that close. I mean, the dude's got 87 points in 49 games. And when you adjust that out to a full season, he's having like a top 10 greatest offensive season in the history of the NHL. So he's going to win the Hart Trophy. He should win the Hart Trophy, and he should get 100% of the first-place votes. Could I buy UC Saros sneaking in and getting some votes for third or for second by some people? Sure. Like, where would this Predators team be without Saros? What would the point differential be? Like, they would be how many points out of a playoff spot right now?
Yeah.
Double digits?
They were in 26th place when he and they completely turned it around. And again, like, you know, the thing is, he has the best numbers. And if he just, I mean, like, his first 13 games, 3-1 goals against, .895 save percentage. He was just like so-so then. He'd be like, he'd have dominantly the best numbers in the league.
What would his numbers look like without that first game in Dallas where they scored like 1,000 power play goals?
Right. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, too, you know, like, so his last 20 games is a .183. That includes the 6 he gave up last week when he was great.
Yeah.
You know? But when we bring it back to Saturday's game, Saros is great, but like, I actually think that the bigger story of that was how they played in front of him.
I agree.
Especially from one game to the next.
I agree.
3-day break. They had some practice. They worked on some stuff. They were really much, much better.
They were. And look, Dallas is not some offensive juggernaut that they're playing up against. I mean, there's a huge difference right now in trying to defend Florida and trying to defend Dallas. And we all recognize that. I mean, Dallas was shut out the game before as well. So there is a difference, but, I mean, we read off the stat that Vingan put out there earlier, 27 slot shots allowed in the 7-4 loss last Tuesday. They allowed 4 against Dallas. I mean, you're only allowing 4 of those in a game, you like your chances. I mean, you're gonna win most of the time when that's the case.
Both of those numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculously high, ridiculously low. I mean, giving up 27, I'm trying to think of I always like to, you know, that's like giving up, like, 14 dunks, you know. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Like, just ole to the rim. I mean, and then you get it to 4. Saros had a couple. He had the one puck that was tipped where he got just a little bit of his glove on it, you know, and deflected it away. He had a couple big time saves, but again, the other night he gives up 6 goals, and I'm like, man, that guy was great tonight, you know.
Yeah. It's been just amazing to watch the run that he's been on, and I assume he's back in there tonight for the Predators against Columbus. Our friends at MoneyPuck.com, after the game Saturday night, the Predators now 83.5% in terms of their likelihood to get in the playoffs. Dallas down to just 16.5%. Chicago at 0, according to MoneyPuck.com.
0, not even a
0.
Are they mathematically eliminated?
They're not.
So you can't give them like a 0.1%.
There is not a 0.1% chance at all. It's 0.
You know, this it's almost, I feel like, an afterthought to some extent. This, you know, Columbus, and then what's it look like when they get to Carolina? You know, what's Dallas do, all this stuff? You know, these Columbus games, this happens all the time.
I know.
Happens all the time in this league with a team that's just young guys and they're playing out the string, but they're like, hey, we could screw something up for these guys. Let's go get them. So,
I mean, it took overtime for Carolina to beat Columbus. What was that, Saturday night? Yeah. I think that was Saturday night.
Yeah. And Tampa Bay has massive incentive to get the one to get to play Dallas or Nashville.
Yeah.
And they lost to Detroit this weekend.
Tampa Bay is not going to be in the Final Four this year.
Wow.
They're limping down the stretch. They don't look very good at all.
They're missing two pretty important guys.
They are, sure. But, like, we see it all the time where teams that aren't playing well down the stretch, as good as Tampa Bay is and as good as Stamkos and Kucherov would be to get back in the lineup.
Sure. Look, I picked Carolina in the preseason to make the top 4. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Getting those two guys back, pretty big deal.
How well were the Preds playing down the stretch in 2017?
They're playing pretty well.
They, when you look at mid-January to mid-April that season, their record was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the last couple weeks they did lose a handful of games, but for the most part, since mid-January that year,
yeah,
they were playing pretty
well. It's just down the, yeah, I guess more the real tight down the stretch. They had a couple losses that, yeah.
I mean, I don't know
that
Tampa
screwed
Bay.
Them over, and then you get to play Chicago.
I don't know Tampa Bay's record since the start of March, but they started the season just
blazing.
On fire.
Yeah,
I'm going to look during the break and see what Tampa Bay's record has been since like early March.
Good, more math.
Guarantee you, and it isn't all that great.
Let's quickly go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trevor text in, what if the Predators get Tampa Bay in the first round and Saros stays on a heater? Would the Vezina Trophy happen for him if they win? It's just a regular season award, so the first round wouldn't have any bearing on it.
Yep. So he's going to have to.
He's got four games left.
So, hey, listen. Finish his case. Finish out with five straight shutouts. You got your first.
Yeah.
Finish out with five straight.
Be in pretty good shape at that point.
Yeah. You might have a shot.
Save percentage of 960.
Yeah. I mean, he really. He should be. When these GMs are. I mean, he should be top of mind.
Yeah.
He should be right there with Vasilevsky.
When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal score for tonight's game for the Predators against Columbus. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Turnaround shot and the score!
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. All right, people. Predators have a big win on Saturday night against the Dallas Stars. They get it done in dramatic fashion and get a huge win, up 3 points on the Stars. And here we are, doing Preds Pick to Click. We need your participation. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Be the first caller to participate in today's version of Preds Pick to Click. I know it can be intimidating. I know you don't want to be wrong. But look, I've been wrong the whole year pretty much, and I'm still in this competition.
You kind of have to be, but... Yeah,
you still haven't scored a goal in regulation.
I have not scored one in regulation.
And so, and also as
it
a listener,
it is pretty incredible. Like here we are, we have got 3 games left of Preds Pick to Click in the regular season, and I've gotten one, and it was an overtime. I've not got one right in regulation the whole year.
I mean, it's been, it's to me, it's crazy how many games we've had where they've actually had a bunch of goals,
yeah,
and no one got it right. 4 people, not just you. So it's 7-7, right? 7-7-3-1.
7 for the listeners, 7 for Joe Rexrode, 3 for Ryan Porth, 1 for Robbie Stanley.
So you can also be part of a collective competing with me to beat me as the listeners.
Yeah.
We have two competitions going on. I think we can. I mean, right? Basically, this is it.
I mean, I literally can't catch you in the regular season.
You can't catch me. I mean, I guess if the Preds went on a playoff run,
Porth can't catch you either.
It's possible.
In the regular
season. Right.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Yeah.
So they have to make the playoffs for that. So basically, it's the winner's bracket, the listeners against me.
Yes.
And then it's the Gus Macker toilet bowl.
Yes.
With you and Porth. So we've got
a winner.
We've got someone who wants to jump in on this.
We'll do this here in just a second. I can't believe you called it the toilet bowl.
Hey, like I said, man, those toilet bowl trophies at Gus Macker,
yes,
valuable commodities.
I'm coming for you, Joe.
Let's go our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Jay is today's participant. Jay, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Jay, the Predators taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Who is your pick to click for the Predators in this game?
My pick to click, I would guess, would be, I want to pick you on. Ellie Tolvanen.
There we go. Jay going with Ellie Tolvanen.
I actually participated in a Gus Macker. You had 4 people.
Yes.
Sometimes you always had a backup.
Right.
I was the backup who never played in a 3-on-3, because you had 4 So I do know Gus Macker, but Ellie Tolvanen. Go with that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jay.
Hey, Jay, wait, hold on. Where'd you play? What Gus? Which one?
Somewhere in Indiana. A friend of mine his father used to sell some Key jeans. He was a salesman, and we'd go to Big Blue stores in Indiana, and we would travel around, but he always entered us in this Gus Macker in Indiana.
Nice.
Very nice.
Good stuff. Jay, someone's got to sit.
That's right. Uh-huh. Someone's got to sit. Jay, we wish you good luck in today's competition.
They made me sit by the scoreboard and just keep scoring until they absolutely needed me.
That's right. Appreciate it, Jay. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So Jay selecting Ellie Tolvanen in the competition today.
So real quick at Gus Macker, too, they have people called the Gus Busters. So you call your own fouls.
Yeah.
But the Gus Busters, if there's a fight, would come in. And then there's Super Gus Busters, which are basically like bar bouncers if there's really a problem. So you got the Gus Busters, the Super Gus Busters.
Did you ever get one of those calls?
Oh, they came over. Oh, they came over to our court.
I'm sure they did.
We played a team that, like, basically, like, every time they missed a shot, they just started calling fouls.
Yeah, that would drive me nuts.
I mean, it's like, okay, at some point we have to fight.
Yes, we've reached that point now. So Jay selecting Ellie Tolvanen in the competition. Robbie Stanley, the first pick today. Give me number 9. Philip Forsberg is back in there. I'm going back with him. Give me Philip Forsberg as my selection today in Preds Pick to Click. I've not been able to select him in a long time. He is now eligible once again. Give me number 9.
If the Preds, you know, can get on that power play a few times tonight,
I know.
I like the chances for both you and Jay. At least one of you is going to register.
Probably will be Jay. We'll see.
Probably.
We'll see how that goes. So Ellie Tolvanen selected by Jay. I have selected Philip Forsberg in the competition today. Ryan Porth, you have the next selection in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Ryan Porth, your selection in this competition is what? Or I guess I should say is whom?
Or what? You go with, you say like a yak.
Yeah, I mean,
you go with someone in the herd. Yeah.
The ox. The colt.
Could do that.
I could do that. Give me Granny.
Oh, Mikhail Granlund.
Mikhail Granlund.
Off the board. Playing very well for the Nashville Predators. So Tolvanen selected, Forsberg selected, Mikhail Granlund selected as well. Joe Rexrode, you round us up today. Your selection in Preds Pick to Click. I think I know where you're going.
All due respect to Joe Davion Rex Croak.
I know you're not going there. I know where you're going.
Do you?
Yep.
Well, I could be wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong. But I feel like I'm 2 for 2 with this guy. But I'm definitely 2 for something, and it's not a lot. Mm-hmm. I haven't picked him a lot.
You're going exactly where I thought you were.
But, yeah, I'm going to go with Matt Duchene.
Yep.
After the way he played the other night, the way he's playing. You know, we got our guy Gover out there, the Duchader. that's Jeremy K. Duchader Gover.
You have to say that word very carefully.
Yes, I absolutely. You got to make sure you emphasize on the hater. And I'm going to go with Matt Duchene.
Here we go, Matt Duchene. You are now. I don't think you're 2 for 2 selecting Matt Duchene, but you are like probably like 2 for 4,
yeah,
2 for 5,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, you've done a pretty good percentage.
At some point, you got to play the percentages. So
absolutely.
And again, when we have him on Wednesday, if he scores tonight, I am going to demand. I'm going to demand some gratitude.
Well, so now that we've gotten some bodies back in the lineup here, a little bit more star power in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Forsberg selected, Tolvanen selected, Granlund, Duchene. I think you feel pretty good about that coming into this game.
No one ever picks Holla.
I don't know that anyone has picked Holla the entire year.
He's been scoring.
Did you?
Yeah. He didn't score that night, okay. But all I right. did pick him.
Okay, all right.
Well, because the Preds are going to win 5-2 tonight, and it'll be Holla, Yarncroak, Johansson.
Yeah.
Arvidsson will come back and score.
Sanders, no.
And there you go. Yeah, one of the yaks will score.
One of the yaks. And on Twitter says, "Yep, Duchene, it's going to happen." And very confident in your pick.
I feel good about it.
You should.
He looked good. No matter what Duchader says, he looked good the other night.
Got a text that says it wasn't letting me call in. My pick is Matt Duchene. So Matt Duchene, a very popular pick today in Preds Pick to Click. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka.
It as in like your phone?
I don't know. I'm sure they were not calling my cell phone. Would be my guess. Hope not.
Well, I mean, the comment, it wasn't letting me call in. What does that mean?
I guess his phone maybe. I don't know.
Don't blame us for your phone problems.
I don't know. We'll find out.
What do the Predators need to do this week? So they've got four games left. You got two against Columbus, and then you close out with two against Carolina as well. Of these four games, Joe Rexrode, with a three-point lead on the Stars and the schedule that Dallas has, how many of these three do you think the Predators need to win? Of the 8 points, how many points do you think they need to grab?
It's a good question. I'm gonna say Dallas gets the two in their game in hand. Okay.
Okay.
So let's just you got four games apiece, 1 point difference. I mean, I think the Preds better get six. Right?
I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't see Dallas beating Florida. And they might get Tampa once. I don't see any way they get Tampa twice.
So that's okay. So there's six. Yeah.
But, well, that's four. Then you got the two against Chicago. Now, Dallas probably picking up some points against Chicago. You would think. So that's eight right there. Six right there that they would have. So if you're the Predators,
you win by a point.
Yeah.
If you get six.
Here's what my advice to the Predators would be. Take care of business against Columbus. You get all 4 points against Columbus, you're probably going to be sitting in pretty good position to where if you're going into Carolina game, maybe you've got to win one, maybe you don't. I mean, that could be a good position to be in. If you lose one to Columbus and you need to go beat Carolina, and Carolina's still got something to play for, that's not a spot you want to be in if you're the Predators. That's not gone well for you so far this year.
It has not. When are Dallas? Dallas also the last two Saturday, Monday. Do you know?
Yes. They are Sunday and Monday for Dallas against Chicago.
So it's back to back. It's a back to back. Okay. Could be interesting. It'd be very surprising if the Preds going to the Carolina series all set, right? It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible. I mean, Florida's kind of on the fringe. I mean, Florida is pretty much going to be playing in that 2-3 game, right?
I mean
they have a mathematical chance, but they're up against
They got to win. They need to win all three of their games left. Which I think you feel good about if you're the Predators, because they're playing Dallas next.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the fact that it's this next game, they still are alive right now. Tampa Bay is wobbling. It's possible.
So, by the way, Tampa Bay 11-8-1 in their last 20 games.
So not great.
Pretty average.
I mean, not terrible, but not great.
Not to their standards.
What were they before that? 24-6-2?
That is correct.
Yeah, it's a bit of a difference there.
You can still find a lot of examples of runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs, though, with teams that aren't red hot going in.
There's no cookie cutter example of how you win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
But just the eye test with Tampa Bay, I watched a good portion of both of those games against Detroit this weekend. They look like they just have their feet kicked up and ready to get to the playoffs, and that is dangerous.
It is, but it's like the team that just won it, and it's like enough of this crap already. Seeing the same teams over and over. My God, we've seen the Red Wings again, you know? I think they'll be okay.
Those mighty Detroit Red Wings. When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Predators' pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.